Hey, yo, it's brain, motherfucker. It's the truth and effect. I smoke blunts to the head till I'm snoozing in bed. Wake up, eat breakfast, and do it again. Built for tough, watch me as I move through the wind. They ain't getting paper, tell me what you doing with them, Dan. I've been him, diamonds on the wrist, compliment the grin. Obvious they pretend wearing them little gems. We smoke buds with little stems. Listen, you and your little man softer than oatmeal. Sweet talk, a bit of quick, shit gets so real. I'm all that in a bag, aiming for the sky with a fully loaded mag. Gold coated for the flash, notice the pizzazz. I focus on the cash, it's a blast from the future. Leave you jokes in the past. It's brain live from NJ, here to cramp up styles until they rubbing Bengay. So what your man say? Nothing. Before I backflip, I twist haze. Smoke the whole place out like a grenade. I'm the general of change. They leaning on the kid like a cane, cause I'm understanding to the pain. Because I made a lane, I'm just speaking my piece. I need a house, sucker spending all they G's on fleece. I'm more champion, they broke wearing Givon Tree. I be on three, the one you can't see on beats, it's me.
They hate me cause they love me, bunch of Helga Pataki. You ain't New York to me unless you call hell from Pataki. Old soul cause I walk the walk a lot. You only known the city since it was a coffee spot. Knicks in the playoffs, you need me, I'm unavailable. The business scalable, they keep saying what so-and-so did. But yo, my shit is incomparable. I'm in rare air like the pair that I got on the neck of the game that I don't dare to move. I'm well off well-written parables of practice by Young Magic out of Hell's Kitchen. My interactions with these music cats all awkward. They make moves behind your back, off and Jamal Crawford. Half the time, it's like we care about who all talking more than who all playing. That's word to Shaq, EJ, Kenny, and Charles Barkley. We so busy talking about culture that we never make culture. The rappers gangsta come and go, that shit is peekaboo. Grew up around dudes, moved on principles, they Pokemon. So what I look like taking a Pikachu? I stay out the way and keep doing what I dream to do. Yeah. Most of their favorite legends, I'm the sequel to. Of their current faves, there's a decent few, but we talking elite and who? But I did my best. I'm done trying to preach it, dudes. I'm Frank if he never wore the chinchilla. I don't leave a clue. Shit. And now it's home court, wherever I step. You can't lift the weight I carry because you ain't did the rep. So these days, when I don't get the respect, it say more about who's giving than the dude who accepts. Crap.
All the content you hear on this episode is Fair Use Creative Commons Non-Commercial Use License. Welcome back to episode 194 of the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. So, sitting back today, I was working on some stuff in the garage and trying to be productive and, you know, get a lot of my plans executed on and, you know, completed. But I said to myself, I got a little idea, and I said, let me put up a podcast. And, so I'm jumping on the microphone over here and see if I can get this uploaded. And it came to me, I said, it's funny, but, you know, I put a lot of good content out, and it helps people, and it helps me therapeutically, so it's kind of like symbiosis. But I talk about a lot of heavy, meaty subjects, you know, a lot of philosophies, and sometimes, you know, you just got to cut loose a little bit and relax and, you know, just put some content out that is kind of just where you're at that moment in time, where your head is, and, you know, not necessarily on a positive tip or negative or fear or anything over the top. Just, you know, where I'm at right now, which is really a good space. As I mentioned in a prior podcast, I've been here in Greenville area, South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, which is an hour and a half out of Charlotte. And an hour and a half out of Atlanta, Georgia, like I'm right in between. So it's a really nice location. And I've been dropping my usual, you know, one podcast a month. But I said, let me just put something out that's not really heavy and, you know, very intense or whatever it is. Just something free-flowing, freestyle. And so I said, let me just put this episode out. And to add on top of that, what I've been seeing lately is there's so much negativity that they're tossing at us. That really the only way, the cure, as they say, is to just get centered within yourself and then pursue what you need to do. Because as I always say, they want to have you in a state of fear and depression and just to have you off your own game so you can be manipulated and tossed into their matrix system. So that's something that we definitely do not want. And then the other thing is, you know, the key to everything is really just staying busy. Like, I needed shelving, and, we've been in the house less than a year, and there's barely any room, you know, in the garage because we have boxes and stuff. So I ended up putting 16 foot of shelving, and the ceiling is 10 foot high. So got a lot of shelving put up, and I did a nice job on it, and I'm trying to get it filled up. But I feel the gratification as I'm working on it that I'm doing a good job and making sure everything is level. So yeah, it's pretty much complete, and I'm starting to stock it up, and it's a lot of fun, man. It's really, and it's not like something that you buy in the store, but it's something that you did with your hands and something that you could tangibly see and use in your life. So it's very important, you know. That's why I always try to keep my episodes on a positive thing. I'll speak on some negative things that are happening, but ultimately it's about not the external but the internal, as it were, you know. So it's really great to be back podcasting. I want to give a shout out to all of my listeners. I want to thank you for listening and supporting the podcast and for your emails and such. So as I always say, I have my PDF, my free book, which is the Academy of Liberation Handbook 1 and 2. That took a second to come up. Academy of Liberation Handbook 1 and 2, which is a PDF, email me and I will click reply with the PDF book and the MP3 audio book of the same book, but in MP3 format. It's free. You don't go on any mailing lists. I'm not trying to sell anything. I don't copy anything. It's just easier for me if I do PDF because I don't want to put it out there and then people, you know, I don't know who has downloaded it or how many people. I have no control over it. So it's better if you email me. This way I could see who's requesting it. And you could use the content and then do whatever you want with it. I mean, it's, as I call it, a fast track to knowledge because it hits on a lot of points that accelerate your knowledge base and ability to comprehend this reality that we're living in right now. So it's the Academy of Liberation Handbook 1 and 2. Email me and I'll respond or reply back to you. And my email is alphamalebuddhist@gmail.com. alphamalebuddhist@gmail.com. Instagram is just alphamalebuddhist, so you can reach out and I'm available. So yeah, you know, it gets heavy sometimes. You sit here, you podcast, you start going into some really deep subjects, you know, and it's craziness, but you gotta find a way to bring everything back to homeostasis and kind of a base level where, you know, you have your day-to-day things that you do, let's say whether it be podcasting or building a shelf or digging a hole and, you know, transplanting a plant from one spot in the yard that's too sunny to a part that's shady that the plant can survive and thrive, whether it's to go shopping, whatever activities and responsibilities that you have to deal with is great, but you have to put everything in perspective in that you have to stay positive, you have to stay busy, and don't look at when you're doing hard work, don't look at it as hard work. Look at it as your responsibility, your duty of what you're supposed to be doing. Because the biggest thing I've noticed this for years, man, since I was a young man, like 14 years old, 12 years old, there's people when they do something, they act like, and they're doing their job, they act like they're doing you a favor. And if that's the mentality that you have, you're always going to work for somebody, you're never going to really be fulfilled, and you're going to be in a state of suffering because you're not doing anybody a favor. It's our responsibility coming into this earth to work hard and to do things and to be productive. And that's where the true fulfillment comes from, you know? So just thought I'd put that out there. And the fact that, as I said in this episode, I don't want to get too serious on any one specific subject or, you know, kind of lecture or kind of be repetitive of, you know, saying the same things of, hey, you got to get yourself together and, you know, go through the pain and all that. We all know that. So, again, this is just something that is for you to kind of reflect on the yin and yang or the flip side of the hard work and earning things. To flip the flip side of that is the enjoyment also, listening to good music, enjoying yourself, and just putting life and everything that life holds to put it in perspective and to prioritize things of what's really important and what isn't, you know? And, of course, we got to pay bills, but that doesn't mean that we're going to be a slave to our bills. You know, we need to enjoy life and see what things actually give us real fulfillment in life, you know? So that's basically where this episode is coming from. Yeah, so we're going to hop into this episode, and I hope you guys do enjoy it. Praise Jesus' name. So it's really, really important to sit back and analyze where you're getting your information from, how you are validating the information that you're inputting into your thought processes, and how to process that information to come out with the best solutions or evaluations of a given problem that's presented in front of you. With the analogy of the locked cylinder with the image of the key already resident within the cylinder, meaning that the problem itself has the image of the solution already in it. You'd have to listen to prior podcast episodes where I get into the locked cylinder and the void of infinite potential, where if you look at a locked cylinder, you will see the image of the key, which is the solution to that lock. So that is one way of perceiving the world. And seeing, because you can have all type of processes and methodologies, as it were. You have different methodologies of processing the information outside of you so that you can better interact with the world and what it's presenting to you. So it's very important, because many people do not even go through that process of understanding or learning that they can interact with this reality. A lot of people are a slave to this matrix system and this reality that's being presented to us. And the reason I say that is because you look at the fruit of the tree. In other words, what it bears and what a person bears in their life, right? Somebody, a guy could come up to you and tell you that, you know, he's hardworking and he's positive and he's listening to the right music and reading the right books and managing his life and taking care of his family. And you notice that he's spending $400 on a pair of Air Jordan FYZs or whatever, you know, and dude ain't doing shit in his life. You know, he's a burden to his family and all that kind of stuff. So don't tell me who you are. Show me, you know, through the results and the actions of what you do and how you conduct yourself in this life. Right, so there's the only real way to know if you're moving in the right direction or conducting yourself in a way that is, what's the word again, where you deserve everything that you get in your life, or, you know, are able to achieve it. Because the two are not always the same. Just because you deserve something doesn't mean you're going to get it. But you have to put yourself in a position where you can get it. And the real only way to do that, of course, is the internal and looking at the things that you're capable of doing, the things that you have control over. Yes. But at the same time, it's looking at the external, at your environment, and how you integrate with that and process that information. Right? Very, very important. You can never take it for granted. That's why certain times in life, for me, like, there's certain types of music. As a matter of fact, some of the music that I really get into when I'm in deep thought or whatever, I'll listen to a song repeatedly 5 times, you know, just because it's feeding me, or it's the right moment to hear the mathematics of that song. So some of those songs, like from Weather Report, 125th Street Congress, and as a matter of fact, now that I'm on the subject, on the intro, there's a channel that's called Chinatown Sound. And I got a couple of, I put up something from Fuego Bass on one of my last episodes, which is pretty cool. So on this one, the first rapper from Chinatown Sound, his name is Brain Orchestra, BrainOrchestra, Brain Orchestra. I like to give these cats credit, man, because the boy's spitting some hard bars over there, that Brain Orchestra. Boy's nice. And then the second one is Marlon Kraft. He calls himself Kraft. That's also off Chinatown Sound. So go check them out. And yeah, it's something, it's kind of the stuff I like to listen to, because it's like real poetry, man. As opposed to eating this pre-digested pablum that they're feeding us, these pissed on breadcrumbs, where, you know, you're listening to like murder and assault and ops and materialistic things, whatever it is. Syncopated crap they're putting off for us to consume, this pablum, which doesn't feed the soul at all. It's just some ego-driven slop. I don't want to sound like a boomer, but you know, of course, there's some good music that's coming out right now. But I like to, honestly, like lately, I've been listening to even some old R&B. Like I opened up with the Staple Singers, "I'll Take You There," and that is tight, man. The bass on that and just the rhythm on that—that's from the mid '60s. That song, vocals on it, everything on that pops. So you know, music is important because it enables you to kind of syncopate in your brain rhythmically through the principle of rhythm. You know, the integration process and how those things work when you're in deep thought, it enables you to kind of go into a deeper phase of your brain waves, theta, whatever they call it. I know this, I don't know the exact names of them, but there's different brain waves that you reach, and the right music definitely puts you in that state, the right positive music, and the right negative music will put you in that mind state too, but in a very dark way. You know, we can see that resulting in our urban centers right now in St. Louis and, you know, Chicago, New York and Miami and, you know, all of that, L.A. and everything like that, all the violence and the murder that's going on right now, man. So something that we need to be aware of as far as, you know, the music that we're digesting, consuming, listening to, and the effect that it has on us and the way we process the information that we're picking up in life and how we're responding to that. So important, man. Very important that you have an awareness of why you do the things that you do and why you react the way you do, and to make sure you're not reacting out of emotion or anger or fear, for that matter, that you sit back in a very calculated way. That's why I love the movie The Godfather so much, because the way Marlon Brando and Al Pacino play their roles in that, and actually everybody in that movie. That's why I have some back episodes. If you search, you Google Alpha Male Buddhist Godfather, you'll see certain episodes. I know recently I did one, 48 Laws of Power, as expressed through The Godfather. But the stoic nature of the men in that movie, how they're able to deal with what they have put in front of them, you know? And it's, they're not emotional, they're not flying off the handle, they're not operating out of fear, they're operating out of some high level, you know, third eye observations of life and how to conduct themselves and how to respond and how to process everything. So yeah, man, something that you always want to be conscious of. So it's really, really important to sit back and analyze where you're getting your information from, how you are validating the information that you're inputting into your thought processes, and how to process that information to come up with the best solutions or evaluations of a given problem that's presented in front of you. With the analogy of the locked cylinder, with the image of the key already resident within the cylinder, meaning that the problem itself has the image of the solution already in it. And you'd have to listen to prior podcast episodes where I get into the locked cylinder and the void of infinite potential, where if you look at a locked cylinder, you will see the image of the key, which is the solution to that lock. So that is one way of perceiving the world. And seeing, because you can have all type of processes and as you call, what's the word? Methodologies, as it were. You have different methodologies of processing the information outside of you so that you can better interact with the world and what it's presenting to you. So it's very important because many people do not even go through that process of understanding or learning that they can interact with this reality. A lot of people are a slave to this matrix system and this reality that's being presented to us. And the reason I say that is because you look at the fruit of the tree, in other words, what it bears and what a person bears in their life, right? Somebody, a guy could come up to you and tell you that, you know, he's hardworking and he's positive and he's listening to the right music and reading the right books and managing his life and taking care of his family, and you notice that he's spending $400 on a pair of Air Jordan FYZs or whatever, you know, and dude ain't doing shit in his life, you know, he's a burden to his family and all that kind of stuff. So don't tell me who you are. Show me, you know, the results of the actions of what you do and how you conduct yourself in this life, right? So there's the only real way to know if you're moving in the right direction or conducting yourself in a way that is, what's the word again? Where you deserve everything that you get in your life, or, you know, are able to achieve it, because the two are not always the same. Just because you deserve something doesn't mean you're going to get it, but you have to put yourself in a position where you can get it. And the real only way to do that, of course, is the internal and looking at the things that you're capable of doing, the things that you have control over, yes. But at the same time, it's looking at the external, at your environment, and how you integrate with that and process that information, right? Very, very important. You never take it for granted. That's why certain times of life, for me, like, there's certain types of music. As a matter of fact, some of the new music that I really get into when I'm in deep thought or whatever, I'll listen to a song repeatedly 5 times, you know, just because it's feeding me, or it's the right moment to hear the mathematics of that song. So some of those songs, like from Weather Report, 125th Street Congress, and as a matter of fact, now that I'm on the subject and on the intro, there's a channel that's called Chinatown Sound, and I got a couple of, I put up something from Fuego Bass on one of my last episodes, which is pretty cool. So on this one, the first rapper from Chinatown Sound, his name is Brain Orchestra, BrainOrchestra, Brain Orchestra. I like to give these cats credit, man, because the boy's spitting some hard bars over there. That Brain Orchestra was nice. And then the second one is Marlon Craft. He calls himself Craft. That's also off Chinatown Sound. So go check them out. And it's something, it's kind of the stuff I like to listen to, because it's like real poetry, man, as opposed to eating this pre-digested pablum that they're feeding us, these pissed on breadcrumbs, where, you know, you're listening to like murder and assault and ops and materialistic things, whatever it is, syncopated crap they're putting off for us to consume, this pablum, which doesn't feed the soul at all. It's just some ego-driven slop. I don't want to sound like a boomer, but, you know, of course, there's some good music that's coming out right now. But I like to, honestly, like, lately, I've been listening to even some old R&B. Like, I opened up with the Staple Singers, I'll Take You There. And that is tight, man. The bass on that and just the rhythm on that. That's from the mid-60s, that song. Vocals on it, everything on that. Pops. So, you know, it's... music is important because it enables you to kind of syncopate in your brain rhythmically through the principle of rhythm, you know, the integration process and how those things work when you're in deep thought. It enables you to kind of go into a deeper phase of your brain waves, theta, whatever they call it. I don't know the exact names of them, but there's different brain waves that you reach, and the right music definitely puts you in that state, the right positive music, and the right negative music will put you in that mind state too, but in a very dark way, you know. You can see that resulting in our urban centers right now in St. Louis and, you know, Chicago, New York, and Miami, and, you know, all of that, L.A. and everything, like all the violence and the murder that's going on. So, something that we need to be aware far as, you know, the music that we're digesting, consuming, listening to, and the effect that it has on us and the way we process the information that we're picking up in life and how we're responding to that. So important, man. Very important that you have an awareness of why you do the things that you do and why you react the way you do, and to make sure you're not reacting out of emotion or anger or fear, for that matter, that you sit back in a very calculated way. That's why I love the movie The Godfather so much, because the way Marlon Brando and Al Pacino play their roles in that, and actually everybody in that movie. That's why I have some back episodes. If you search Google Alpha Male Buddhist Godfather, you'll see certain episodes. I know recently I did one, 48 Laws of Power, as expressed through The Godfather. But the stoic nature of the men in that movie, how they're able to deal with what they have put in front of them, you know? And it's, they're not emotional, they're not flying off the handle, they're not operating out of fear, they're operating out of some high level, you know, third eye observations of life and how to conduct themselves and how to respond and how to process everything. So yeah, man, something that you always learn to come to.
I need a man who has powerful friends. I need $1 million in cash. I need Don Corleone, those politicians that you carry in your pocket, like so many nickels and dimes.
What is the interest for my family?
30%. In the first year, your rent should be $3-4 million. And then it would go up.
And what is the interest for the Italian family?
I'll take care of the details. Out of my share.
So I receive 30% for finance, political influence, and legal protection. That's what's coming.
That's right.
Why do you come to me? Why do I deserve this generosity?
If you consider $1 million in cash, just finance, this all over, Gordon.
I said that I would see because I heard that you were a serious man to be treated with respect. But I must say no to you. And I'll give you my reason. It's true, I have a lot of friends. But they wouldn't be friendly very long if they know my business was drugs instead of gambling, as they would have the harmless vice. Drugs is the very business. It doesn't make any difference to me what a man does for a living, you understand? But your business is a little dangerous.
If you're worried about security, the Fatalia's a guarantee.
Oh, are you telling me that Fatalia's guarantee are in this? Yeah.
I have a sentimental weakness for my children, and I spoil them, as you can see. They talk when they should listen. Anyway, Senor Salazzo, I know it's final, and I wish to congratulate you on your business. I know you do very well, and good luck with you. Especially since your interests don't conflict with mine. Thank you. Santino, come here. What's the matter with you? I think your brain is going soft from all that comedy you're playing with that young girl. Never tell anybody outside the family what you're thinking again. What is this thing?
It's from Johnny, starring in that new film.
Take it away.
Take it over there.
And tell Luca Brazzi to come in.
Flashback to 83. That's when the war on drugs was the main topic. Then you skip to 85. That's when crack cocaine became profit. I'm a product of Reaganomics. You wasn't even born back then. I hate the logic, but you can't be called drugs if you wasn't made in the process. I need to talk to you, little nigga. He named himself drugs. That's wild disrespect for the how I was brought up, bro. I don't believe in your squad. I was raised in that trap house. A couple fiends lean on the wall. There was three keys by the hall. A couple G's by the door. Triple beams. I had to scale back. That's how I even the odds. I mean, you talking about that burner on the stove. You know, when the pot it dissolves, then you stir it until it's cool. Then your wrist lock in the jaw. Then the fiends take a hit. And they start locking their jaw. And then they be like, yeah, when they talk. I mean, nigga, that means that raw numb in the vein got you holding your neck wrong. The bitches be sucking on glass dicks. For a hit, they be getting their neck on. The fiends keep coming right back. Cause when I'm cooking, I be getting my chef on. But you don't have that same feel. Yo, Rock, this drug has been stepped on. I mean, that means it all makes sense. But it ain't a profit for me. That's why your lines don't hit. Because the product is cheap. I mean, now, you fucking with a plug, nigga, just like that. By the way, I'm in a mix with Arm & Hammers. Is you cut like that? Wordplay. Oh, you ain't figured that I was gonna come like that? I said it twice. I read up just so he can see how it come right back. Is drugs gonna tell me about drugs, my nigga? I done grind many nights. My mom's put me onto the grind. She had a Fetty right. Her OG got rushed by the feds. She held it semi tight and put two bricks in a bra right by her titties. Right now, what did she do? She gave it back to the plug the next day. She ain't the silly type. She knew that if she earned this trust, she'd get it any price.
She's serious.
This is all facts, my nigga. What did the plug do? He threw a couple. By 86, my mom's had the city hype. I'm talking about that butter. It used to stick to the jaw. You know the Jiffy type. If 10 crack commandments was law, you'd be the Diddy type. Matter of fact, it's all a cycle, because nowadays we get charged to pedal. Oh, that's a city bike. Give me hype. Nigga, what is drugs gonna tell me about drugs, my nigga? You got it wrong. What you know about a transaction where the pillowcase is in powder form? My dad was a junkie. Track marks around and out his form. My last image of him before he died was with a belt wrapped around his arm. What is drugs? How you gonna tell me about drugs? How you gonna tell me about drugs, nigga? Matter of fact, didn't Rico snitch on all these Maryland, D.C. niggas? He made it hot out here. OG, gorilla pimping. He took a block out here. Now, I ain't gonna disrespect y'all, because a couple of y'all niggas look like y'all might plot out here, and I'm on point. Because even Cam got shot out here. Drugs like a fucking idiot. Nigga, no one's flipping you and no one's whipping you. It's like they gassed you. It's the aroma off the jar. They blew smoke right into you. I mean, didn't you do a PG? You met Norbs well, didn't you? He went up like, hey, Norbs, my name's Drugs. Norbs was like, whoa, this kid is cool. His flow so cynical. With a name like Drugs, it's oh so original. I mean, he might be the GOAT, no shit in you. No, the nigga said Drugs. Oh so typical. Bro, that's pitiful. No one's digging you. But, I mean, honestly, but since you want to fall for the bait, you get hooked like that. And since you want to be drugs, you get put in a bag. I mean, I'm from Brooklyn all day. We don't see BS. But you and I, we can throw the hands, my nigga. Because with these, we wet. But if you swing, I'm a weave each step and get them drug over the counter like CVS. Yeah. Jeez, my my nigga, cause in the streets we proven. And I met his baby moms, my nigga. She's a retired dyke, my nigga. She be hooping. He talk about, yo, Rock, I get bad bitches. My nigga, who he fooling? If a bitch swallow drugs, it only means she's muling. Now, niggas always talking crazy. Niggas always talking crazy, like, yo, son, I got it, yo. My product's unique, you know, I got it for cheap. But your main man's uncle's OG best friend who just got a plug up north probably got it from me. I be macking with the plug, my nigga, cigar tasting sour. 5-star meals, I'm talking large steaks and flounder. I done been through it all, nigga, OT. In a car chase for hours, all base and flour, large weight and powder. And he get his lifestyle from what? Scarface and power. Bro, stop with the fabrication or I gets the dumping. Hey, yo, I got it on deck. Copy, click, now that's the best discussion. Cause real hustlers, we don't talk much on the phone. So at best he fronting, and that's why your career, well, it's down the drain. Drugs like when the feds be rushing. Now, I told you I've been fire, 6 priors, nigga. I've been liars, and honestly, if drugs can OD off court, without limb buyers, so move. If he lend bias, I quit liars. I got a new slogan, bitch, so fuck you fakes corny. Y'all keep doing what y'all do. Just stay the fuck away from me. It's Brooklyn. All day I keeps it trill for that. I lick a shot for PH cause the real is back.
That is Brooklyn battle rapper Cortez Bodega versus Drugs. I believe he's out of Maryland. That's an old battle rap from like 2016 or something. It's old, but it's a goodie. And here's a little clip from an interview Joseph Campbell did with Bill Moyers on his books, Joseph Campbell's books, The Masks of God, and a number of books that he's done, Hero's Journey. And this is the series, actually. I think it's a 6-part series that I uploaded to my YouTube channel, and YouTube took my channel down. I believe this interview is about close to 40 years old. 35 years old, and you know, I got taken down for these interviews, but you can find them on archive.org. That's another great website, archive.org. You can go on there and find some really hard to find, some really good content on there. But anyway, this is Joseph Campbell speaking on ritual of a boy becoming a man or a child becoming an adult, and the metaphors involved and how the mechanics of how different cultures deal with that, quote unquote, primitive cultures. So just because a culture is quote unquote primitive doesn't mean that you cannot learn something from it. That goes back to, like, you know, Columbus discovered America when America was already here. And from what I'm seeing in some of my research, the Moors were here. And just so much. I mean, they find hieroglyphics in the Grand Canyon and those elongated, extended skulls and such that, you know, they find it in Peru, but they also find it in Egypt, you know. And the ones they find in Egypt have red hair and, you know, it's craziness. So, yeah. I mean, a little clip from Joseph Campbell. Pay very close attention to it because Campbell has a way of speaking. I don't want to say that he oversimplifies, but he's using very basic principles like the word masks and the boy and the challenge or whatever like that. But he's really has some real profound teachings in his words that you could really learn from. I was reading Campbell. I got the book Masks of God that Bill Moyers interview came out. I was in high school, so it was before the 80s, like 78. I got the book and I started reading it, and it made such an impact on me because of the way Joseph Campbell, his perception and the way he sees life and the way he's able to go through different cultures and, you know, study their whole processes of protocol, of methodology of observing the world and integrating with the world. So Joseph Campbell, man, I mean, he was I don't want to use the word disciple, but he continued the path or the foundation laid down by Carl Jung. And I know recently I saw on YouTube or something like that where they were spitting some negative things that Jung was racist or whatever, which is all bullshit. You know, I'm sure if you dig back in somebody's past or whatever, you're going to hear something that is might not be his high point in his life, but I mean, you know, again, I'm going to go back to rule number one for me. You know, I can learn from my worst enemy. A dude, I could hate a dude and listen to him and get a little nugget of truth from him that is going to benefit me. Even though I don't agree with what he says or his platform or where he's coming from. But truth is truth. Okay, like they say, truth is like a lion. It doesn't need anyone to defend it. It can walk in the streets unprotected and flourish because it's the truth. It doesn't need protection. So it's the same thing when you pick up nuggets of truth, wherever you may find them. It's, I don't suggest you canceling out somebody. That's why I'll read the Upanishads or the Dharmapada, the words of Buddha, or the Tao Te Ching, you know, because there's so much truth expressed in those writings that you can learn from, you know. The Tao, I pretty much integrate with all of it just because it's so profound. And most of the, even the Upanishads, I mean, I don't get into the multiple gods and everything like that. You know, I'm Christian, so I don't get into that. But the teaching is expressed through each culture, through their own gods. Or as I spoke on an earlier podcast, you know, the friend Franz Boas, the German anthropologist, you know, he had these two categories, and one was ethnocentric and culturally relative, you know. So you want to try to be culturally relative when you look at a culture. In other words, observe it through its own framework. In other words, you know, the culture's own framework, why they do the things they do, because you have to look into their environment and everything like that. So, yeah, man, Joseph Campbell, he's gonna go on the child becoming an adult and the whole process that that entails. So let's get into some of that.
The boy, when he gets to be more than his mother can handle, the men come in with their masks or whatever their costume is, and they grab the kid, and he thinks he's been taken by the gods, taken out into the men's ground, and he's beaten up and everything else. But then there, in New Guinea, there's a wonderful, wonderful event where this poor kid has to stand up and fight a man with a mask. I say he's fighting the god. The man lets the kid win, takes the mask off, puts it on the kid. Now, the mask is not there defeated and simply said, oh, this is just myth. He said, the mask represents the power that is shaping the society and has shaped you, and now you are a representative of that power. That's a big story. And there are quite a number of examples around the world. Down in Tierra del Fuego, the Ona people down there had rituals of this kind where the kid had to get up and fight this god power that he'd always been afraid of. And the man put up a good fight for the kid, you know, but then the boy won. Now you're a man. You've broken past the image as fact and understand the image as metaphor, and you are to represent what the metaphor stands for. Well, the burial isn't as important as the kid thinking he's dead. Again, these bull roarers, you know, the whoo, 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 this is the voice of the deity. Again, in New Guinea, there's a ritual where the kid is, his eyes are covered by the initiating man, and the bull roarer comes over and he tells him, now the demon, dragon, grandpa is coming to eat you. The kid thinks he's a goner. That's the Liebestod idea that Wagner handles, you see. You think you're dead, and bing, you've broken past it. You've got a new, expanded life. Bigger. What has died has been the infantile ego. We, until we're pretty well along, 12, 13, 14, are utterly dependent on our parents and on our society. So a psychology of dependency is developed. A psychology of submission, asking for approval, expecting reproof, and all this sort of thing. But how are we going to break out of that psychological bondage into self-responsible authority, courage for what our thoughts are and our life? This is the problem of killing the infantile ego, which is one of dependency, and coming into the mature ego of authority. I always say that if you're going to go through for your PhD, you're in the dependency position until you're 35 or 40 and may never get out of it. You can judge by the number of footnotes a scholar applies as to whether he's got authority or is always simply hoping that somebody will feel that he has the right authorities. It's an important, a sensitive point in the academic world. It impressed me, you know, you see on TV, a professor is asked a question and he hums and he's trying to get the answer out straight and so forth. And then some big league baseball player is asked a question, boy, what authority, he's not humming and hawing. He comes out, he knows, he was an authority from the time he was playing ball on the sand lots. He's not asking anybody for approval, he's telling you. And this is the breakthrough to maturity that is required in the life of the adult.
So to close out this episode, I'm going to play an album by an artist by the name of Pat Metheny. Pat Metheny, guitar player, kind of plays a 12-string guitar and does a lot of real creative stuff. This album, I think, is from like the late 70s, maybe early 80s. Late 70s. Pat Metheny Group is the name of the album. It's their first group album, but the people that know them, it's called the White Album because the album is all white. This, I can't explain to you the depths of thought that I've went into listening to this album. There's actually two songs that are the same song, but slowed down on the second version. And it's, I'll be very honest, man, you can't just listen to, it's six songs. You can't just listen to it and leave it like that. You gotta go, even if you don't like it, like you gotta go back, listen to it again and again and again. And at some point, it's going to hit. Most people, you're going to love it, like when you first listen to it. But the depth in this music, man, and the paths that it opens up in the brain, you know, for you to think and to process, man, it's amazing. So check this out. I'm going to put the pretty much the whole album down. It's a podcast. It's non-commercial, Creative Commons license. So I don't make money out of this. So I can do what I want on my podcast, right? So yeah, I'm going to play. You can find this on YouTube under Pat Metheny Group. And I think if you put in White Album, it pops up. It's there. For years, it was never there. I had the album. I couldn't find it. Didn't feel like paying for it, but it just popped up. There's actually another Pat Metheny album called Bright Size Life, which has Jaco Pastorius on it, which is from a few years earlier. And for those of you who don't know who Jaco Pastorius is, he's a phenomenal bass player with Weather Report on his own, with Pat Metheny on that Bright Size Life album he plays. So I think they're from Miami, Florida, him and Pat Metheny. They're actually on a really good album too by Joni Mitchell. It's called Shadows and Light. It's a two-album live concert by Joni Mitchell. Jonimitchelle, I believe it is. And Shadows and Light, it's Pat Metheny's on the Jaco, and that's another amazing album. But I hope you do enjoy this. Give it a good listen. Trust me when I tell you, man, if it doesn't hit you the first time or the first couple of times you listen to this, play it a few more times, and it's life transforming, man. It's really good music. So hopefully you do enjoy this. I want to praise Jesus' name, and thank you for listening. Welcome to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. I like to cover topics from ancient history, great leaders and generals from the past, and I also like to talk about self-realization, truth, critical thinking, and strategic spirituality. Outside the box, nonconformist. I'm here to shatter the myths of the mainstream media and the beta sheeple narrative. My email address is alphamalebuddhist@gmail.com. My website is alphamalebuddhist.podbean.com. My Instagram is alphamalebuddhist. And check out my YouTube channel, Alpha Male Buddhist, and that's on YouTube. It is the podcast accompanied with video clips that integrate exactly with the podcast, so it's motivational and inspirational. I also have promotional t-shirts. If you go to my website, alphamalebuddhist.podbean.com, you can see the promotional t-shirts there. Reach out to me. Also, if you have any show notes or any suggestions that you would like to hear on the podcast, just reach out and see if I can get that done. I've been getting some really great emails and feedback from my listeners, which is great. So I want to thank you for listening, and namaste.